Okay, now we're back. So let's review what we talked about yesterday. So we talked about the step, step number four. Step number four, again, that was on page Yud Gimel in the regular, and that is Sarva Masa. When we have, again, the step before was Yogam. So step number four is there's an outward manifestation of that yagon, of that distress that a person feels upon having an awareness that they did an avera. So then, after yagon, so the next step is there's a physical manifestation of that. There's a tsarba maisa, there's an action. Then we discussed that a little. Then we went up to step five, and that is daga, or daigo, depending where you come from. Again, we explained the difference. Rabbeinu Yonah explained the difference between that and yagon. Yagon, Rabbeinu Yonah said, yagon is distress on the past, what I did in the past. Daga is worry, concern about the future. What does that mean? So we saw Rabbeinu Yonah says, last line on page of Gimel, ki yidag v'yichad me'onesh avonosov. The punishment. That's one aspect. I'm worried about the punishment. Now, then there was another aspect on page Adala, this the third line towards the end. Ocheni sigindag. There's a second part. There's a certain ingredient element to this concern that a person has in the future. That is next line. Ulai hu mekatzer bechovas hatshuva betzar miros v'tzom v'chi. Maybe I haven't done enough. Maybe again, that pain, that the bitterness, the fasting, the crying, previous step, maybe it wasn't far enough. Now remember, we're still building on yagon. Yagon is distress. If you recall, again, Rabbeinu Yonah said that distress comes from the neshama, from the tohar neshama. The more, and we discussed that yesterday also. The more pure the neshama is, the higher heights it could reach. So now, maybe I didn't, like we discussed yesterday, maybe I didn't polish my neshama enough. So I have a much greater potential. I haven't reached that potential. But we discussed this many times. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, they're not going to ask you after 120 years, they're not going to ask you, why weren't you the Vilna Gaon? They're not going to ask you that. They're going to ask you, why weren't you? Right? Only Hashem knows your potential. Nobody knows your potential. Only Hashem knows your potential. So say, okay, here, this is what your potential. Did you reach that? So that's a very scary thought. Because, you know, there's a lot of discussion today about self-esteem and all this type of stuff. And it's true that we have to realize we have tremendous potential. That's what Slobok is all about, right? God is all about the ability and potential we have. But what a lot of people miss is along with that is, since we have so much potential, there's a lot expected of us, right? A lot expected of you. Parenthetically, by the way, this is, it was always seemingly obvious to me, like, you know, so people, I don't know if people struggle with this. There's a debate in the most world where people are really balei gaiva anymore. People are haughty people, if there exists such a thing anymore. I think I've met a few people who I think are generally balei gaiva. But there is a minority opinion that I asked Rashi Vazekasava about this and he disagreed. But there is a very big Talmud Chacham I know. So there's no such thing as anyone's a balei gaiva anymore. There's no such thing. Why? Everybody's just shmata. So it manifests this way in many different ways. So we have to realize, we got Slavaka saying, you know, you're great, and you're Yitzir Kapo Shal Kach Baruch Hu, and you're Hashem created you, and you're so great and great, and you're greater than great. But the ancillary point with that is, so there's a lot expected of you. Right? You know, you hear of these athletes, you know, who somebody was drafted number one, right, and they made millions of dollars on their first contract, and then they bomb. Why is that? It's pashut, because they didn't work, they didn't apply themselves. So they could have been a great person. That's a very tragic thing. So that applies to us. We have tremendous potential. We have all of us could do amazing things. But the question is, like, sort of, I always thought it's a very good and a simple idea to ward off gaiva, because a person could say, well, look how many years you learned in yeshiva, and then and you know so much supposedly, and again we could debate that, but let's say it's true. So wow, you know, the cat's meow, right? Yeah, but you look around at people, and I do this very often. I'm really, and I say this quite often to people, that it's really inspiring seeing people, like, just in the shul, the strides and the trend. And despite some very troubling, difficult, spiritually challenging beginnings, to be honest, just yesterday, obviously I'm not going to mention who, somebody sent me an article they wrote about their upbringing and the schooling they had, and I didn't know this about the person. And it's shocking to think that this person is a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs now. It's like amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, it's shocking. I was just reading the article he sent me about himself just yesterday. Amazing. So how can you be a Balgaiva? You know, you went so many years to yeshiva, so, you know, and you grew up in that family. So, like, what do you expect? We expect a lot more from you. So we all have to think about that, right? You think about these people who are out there, and they don't have the opportunities we had. They don't know Art Scroll. They don't know whatever. They don't know Torah. They don't know anything. So did I do enough? But you know, I won't say who, obviously. It's a woman in our community. And she said, she's telling us why did she become from. So she said she was driving on the street one day with a friend of hers who was not Jewish, a black girl. Very nice. I mean, I never met the person. So a very nice person. And she saw a crowd of people. And so she said to her African-American friend, she said, "What's all that? What's that crowd? I wonder what's going on." So the black lady turned to her and said, "Don't you know you're Jewish? Today's Yom Kippur." This woman told me this. "Don't you know it? Today's Yom Kippur." The black lady knew that. The Jewish lady driving the car didn't know it was Yom Kippur. Right? Imagine. It's amazing. It's shocking. So again, we Tanai Nahara, we come to Minyan and we're aware of Torah and we know the beauty of Torah. Do we do enough? And that's what Vinei Lamai Einav. So it should, whatever you did is I gotta do more, right? So you know, Lahavdil sport, like I take the sports analogy a little bit. You know, sports figures, they constantly do this. So you always know the people who are on the top of their game. They constantly striving and training and like, you know, I have to keep on going. I have to keep on working, and I have to keep on. So the same thing applies by us. So the Rabbeinu Yonah goes on, again, this is very involved. He says, that's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Because a tzaddik says, maybe I didn't do enough. And rasha says, I'm fine. I'm fine. Ki aksil mis aber v'im kozos botek shlo yikreo avon v'nazak. He's the ksil, the fool, is sure, I'm fine, I did enough, you know, I gave to the appeal I gave, you know, that's enough. Okay, Yud Zayin. Let's go. Now, again, there's a lot to this. Another aspect, so far we talked about two different aspects of the worry, the type of daiga that we have to have. One is from the onesh. Another one is, maybe I didn't do enough. Og yidag, Yud Zayin, Bala Tshuva, Pen Yiskabra Lov Yitzvel. Yitzhar is going to attack again. The Yetzer is going to attack me again. So right now I'm strong. But as we discussed, I think, on Shabbos, right? The Yetzer doesn't give up. Remember about the fly analogy? So that Rabbeinu Yonah says in Yesod HaTshuva, he keeps on trying, and he's consistent, and every day, Chazal say, right? You can see the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al Tamei Batzmachal Yol Moscha, don't try, you think you're doing good, so maybe you are, but the nature of the Yetzer Hara is he doesn't let go of anybody. It's a constant attack. It's a constant work. And every day, he comes up with something else. Comes up with a new approach, a new attack, a new... Ki roi li shamer mi ha-yetzer ha-ore b'chol eis. He's attacking you. He's out to get you every moment. U'lohosif nasho yiras Hashem yom. So you have to become stronger every day. God lun musr every day. Or else we're cooked. Okay, go to the next page. Third line on the next page. And he says, Hatzadikim, third line on the page, Tesva. Hatzadikim is parim u'mechabdim b'nei adam al-kol ma'ala tov. It's a beautiful idea. That, you know how you can tell a tzaddik? So one idea is the tzaddik is constantly striving. Rasha says, I'm doing good. Here's another thing. A tzaddik praises people and every good thing they have. Looks at the positive in people. Not Rasha'im, but Rasha, mechapsim mume b'nei adam v'shkigosam lash pilon. And a Rasha sees the black dot on the perfectly what, right? He sees any little imperfection or perceived imperfection. Afal pi shekvar hiniku masim ha'hem v'chazur b'tshuva. And the Rasha sees what, and he remembers, oh yeah, when we were kids, I remember he did this wrong. But that was 20 years ago. Look at him now. Look at him now. Now they remember, even though the person did tshuva, the Rasha still focuses in and sees it. Sees it. So it's a very powerful idea. So again, in ourselves, we have to say, look, I still do this. I gotta work on myself more and push myself more. But that's for myself. Somebody else, it's a different story. I saw them doing Aveira. Probably did tshuva already. Sure, they did tshuva. The Rosh will say, yeah, I saw them doing Aveira. When was that? 50 years ago. Yeah, but they're still. So that's a litmus test we see between a tzaddik and a Rosh. Now, again, we all know the Rosh Yeshiva's famous shmuz about Ravina Yonah on Pirkei Avos brings us down. That and now it's famous, a lot of people quote it, that a Chacham was once walking with his students and there was a dead dog. And the Talmid said, it smells, it's a matter, it's terrible. So the tzaddik said, but look at its white teeth. Ravina Yonah says this on Ozpanim L'Gehenim. You know, a person has Ozpanim. So what we say an Ozpanim is, somebody has chutzpah. So Ravina Yonah points out in his Pirush and Pirkei Avos, that's not it. So a person who, that's some type of Azus Panim. So Shiva gave a very beautiful, I mean, the dog smells. Wait, what are we doing? We're going through life with rose-colored glasses, you know, like, the dog smells. So the point that Shiva said is, no, of course the dog smells. We're not denying reality. The question is, what do you focus on first? Do you see the beautiful white teeth? Look at those white teeth. Oh, and also smells. Or do you look at it smells, and then you have to, you know, we have to twist your arm. And the Rebbe looks at the white teeth. He saw the white teeth. He's not denying that the dog smells. But what do you look at? What do you focus on first? What do you focus on first? That's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. A tzaddik looks at, look how good this is. It's a dead dog. Yeah, look at it. You ever seen something white like that before? Unbelievable. Whereas a Rasha looks at, even if it's a beautiful dog running around, whatever, he still won't see anything good about it. Okay, so that's also a very important idea we have to think about when we do tshuva. Now again, if you turn the page to page Tazayin in Chav, in paragraph Chav. So again, the third aspect of Daiga is Yitzhar is going to attack me, or might attack. Not might, will definitely every day attack you, come up with something. So if you look on the fifth line of the paragraph Chav, he's going to come up with a chiddush. The Yitzhar will come up with a chiddush. He'll come up with a new way to attack. Might be a totally new thing, a new taiva, a new desire. Or within a weak spot, so I've strengthened that weak spot, he'll come up with a new attack, a new way to weaken me. The Yosef Yiras Hashem B'Nasho Tamid. So what do you got to do? You have to work on your Yiras Shemaim. That's number one. Number two, as we discussed before, Yispal Tamid Al Hashem La'aso. You got to dive into Hashem, right? In Shemoneh Esrei. Help! help me. Gemara says that. La'ozra'el ha'tshuva la'atzilo mi'yitzro. Right, we can't defeat the Yitzhar, it's impossible. So we do our best. And Hashem sees that. And Hashem hopefully will help us. But you got to daven for it too. You got to daven for it. You got to daven that, that Hashem should help you. So then, and then later on he says, a few lines down from that, Ki hu rom levav ve'enenu makir megaras nafsho. That if a person, again, like we said before, is confident, cocky, and his heart is high, and he doesn't recognize the problems of his neshama, so he doesn't recognize the need, the urgent need, to straighten out our ways. The person will fail. Person will definitely fail. Okay, let's quickly. This is going to be a long discussion and a very important. Let's go on to number six. Call file. Next paragraph. Step number six. Habusha. Busha. Being embarrassed. Say this in Tilim in Slichos all the time, right? Pasuk says, "Kin Hashanah Boshni v'gam nechlamti kin nesasi karpas nora." Or also Pasuk Nezra is similar. I'm embarrassed to lift up my face. Right, this is one of the ideas of Tachlin, right? Somebody was talking to me recently, so that some rabbi was here a few years ago and gave a talk of, not here, but in a different shul. Why do people not want to say Tachlin? Right? Nobody wants to say Tachlin. How long is it? A couple of minutes. Yeah. But one of the reasons we cover our faces is because we're acting it out. Like, I'm embarrassed. Like, I can't even, I'm embarrassed to show my face. Now here's the line. This is extremely powerful. You could go over this line like most of these pilots were. Look at the end. Hine achote yovush me'od. Somebody who sinned should be embarrassed. A lot. Me'od, a lot. Lava arabeos lefnei b'nei adam. You won't do it in front of somebody, in front of human beings, mere mortals. Nobody would do it. Not that I know of. I don't know anybody that I know of would do an Aveira in front. Right? You won't go to McDonald's if everybody's there. You won't go, I don't know. Whatever it is. Be kalim, and you'll be klima is like past embarrassed. Booshed out, as they say. Im yargishu v'yakiru be Averosov. If people just feel or recognize the Avero you've done. Right? Imagine that. Somebody's standing there, so you wouldn't do it. So the question is, listen to the beautiful language. Eklo Yavosh mean Hashem Yisbarach. So if that's true, and we know it's true by everybody, so why aren't you embarrassed in front of Hashem? Ain't a ki'im lefi heyos Hashem Yisbarach rachum mikil yosav. Why? Answer simple. Because we don't, Hashem is distanced from our feeling. We see a human being. But it's very hard to realize, quoting the famous Chazal, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. How is that? Yeah? Huh? That's what I'm saying. I know, I think so. I think that's a problem. That's why Hashem makes grandchildren, I think.
That's true.
You know, it all comes back, right? You just pull out the things again. You have to find a tape recorder, I would think. Anyways, right? So, again, it's getting a little late. This is... So Hashem... Aken yavosh min ha-nivroim v'lo yavosh min ha-bar yisbarach. So you will be embarrassed from the creations, but not from the Creator. Okay? So, some years ago when I was involved with Arachim, so at the end of the seminar, they have this symposium. People get up, and then... So I still remember who it was. Somebody got up and said, you know, you drive around the freeway, and you're driving, right, the speed limit is 55, whatever they put, whatever it is, but everybody's going, like, a lot faster than that. You go a lot faster until you see in your rear-view mirror a CHP car. Right, when you see the California Highway Patrol car, is in the rear view mirror, you slow down. You slow down. So I'll never forget him saying this. He said, now I realize there's always someone in the rear view mirror. There's always someone in the rear view mirror. And that's hard, right? That's the very first, right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shavisi Hashem Lanagi Tamid, that we place Hashem. Hashem is in front of us, Tamid, constantly. That's hard. Very hard to do. Right? In certain shuls, right, we have it on the parochas. Sometimes they have it right in front of the chazan. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses people had a Shivisi, they had a little piece of paper they used to put in their Sidurim. Talks about whether that's good or not, because you know it falls and it's a little piece of paper and it's Hashem's name, so you know, like, is that a good idea or is that not? But be that as it may, the idea is obviously this is the ultimate linkage, the gap between the mind and the heart that we all have to work on. And that is, I wouldn't do it if somebody was watching, but I'll do it if I think nobody's watching. But the truth of the matter is, there's always someone watching. Very hard. Very hard. Meretz Hashem, next Monday we'll get into this a little more. Meretz Hashem.